or understanding. It is weighty, thorough, philosophical, deep, serious, or intelligent. And a principle is an accepted or professed rule of action or conduct. It is a guiding sense of requirements and obligations of right conduct. A principle for appropriate social interaction can be that of saying good morning when you see someone for the first time. That was a principle of my grandmother. She said good morning, and she expected you to say good morning because that was considered appropriate social principle. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Those were considered accepted social principles. However, that principle may not be profound, deep, or philosophical, or weighty. Amen. But when it comes to Jesus, his principles were so profound that the people thronged to hear him. At the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." His principles were so profound that people were astonished when they heard him. Even his enemies were flabbergasted. The Pharisees and scribes sent men to arrest Jesus in John chapter 7 and verse 45 through 46. And when those men came back without Jesus, they wanted to know what happened to him. They said, "Never a man spake like this man." In other words, he had such profundity that even his enemies were held at bay. And in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, Jesus gives a most profound discourse on a mountain that is called the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, Jesus preaches and promotes the most profound principles ever uttered in the human ear. And I was drawn to one of his conclusive statements in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, where Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus says to them, and ultimately to us, salvation is not an accident. One will not enter life by chance or happenstance, by a fluke or coincidence. If we are going to be saved, it is because we made a conscious decision to be saved. We took deliberate actions and thoughtful steps toward eternal life. So this morning, I want us to consider the highway to heaven. The highway to heaven. This text reveals that every man, woman, boy, or girl has two options in this life. There are two roads available to you and I. The broad way to destruction or the highway to heaven. The question this morning is, which road are you traveling down? Hopefully, we will find ourselves on the highway to heaven. Now, Jesus warns his followers about this road or these roads. He first of all says that one road has a wide gate, has a broad way, and that road leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. When I look at the dimensions, and I look at this gate, here's what I understood. The gate is a place of entrance. The fact that the gate is wide implies that one can enter with little effort. If it's a wide gate, it doesn't take much effort for you and I to go in that gate. But not only is it a wide gate, when you go in and enter that wide gate, you're going to find a broad road, a broad way, which simply means that this gate leads to a broad way, which has room for all kind of people to walk on. In other words, if you are greedy, you can walk in this way. If you are cantankerous and an angry person, this is the road for you. If you are a materialistic individual, this is the road for you. It invites all kinds of people to this way. If you want to select an alternative lifestyle, you want to be a man when you are a woman, this is the road for you. Oh, don't look at me funny. You know that's what's happening now. Our country is legislating laws not for a narrow way, but for the wide gate, the broad way. We live in a day and age where everything goes. And as long as you own that wide way, don't be surprised as to what you might see and who you might find on the wide road. And you would think, because it's a wide road, spacious, accommodating, that it would lead to someplace magnificent, a beautiful palace, an oasis of loveliness. But at the end of this road is destruction. You can travel as fast as you want to, free as you want to, but at the end is destruction. The proverbial writer said there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem good. You may see all of your people, all your social connections, all of your senators, all of your politicians, you traveling, and you got connections, and you hooked up, and you say, this looks good. But the end are the ways of destruction. The broad way looks good, sounds good, may even feel good, but it is deceptive and destructive. How do you think Adam and Eve got out of the garden? They were lured into the broad way. God said, don't eat of the tree. But the devil says, you go right on ahead and eat. Ain't it a tree that looks good? Sounds good? God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. So everything he said sound good. The tree looked good. And it probably made them feel good. But the end was the way of death. For after they ate, they were thrown out of the garden, and God told them that they would surely die. They died spiritually, and ultimately, they died physically. Don't get fooled by the wide road, because the Bible says that when you look at the demographics, many are on that road. You want to see a road where diversity is all right? Look down, everybody is on that road, many. But I want you to know that it's misleading. It's a misleading road, don't you think? For a moment, simply because everybody likes your picture on Facebook and likes your activity and where you checked into, don't think because everybody likes what you're doing that God approves of what you're doing. Just because a lot of people are retweeting what you tweeted doesn't mean that it's all right. You know, when your children tell you everybody's doing it, that ought to be a red flag that goes up. You ought to know, oh, I got to watch what they're doing if everybody's doing it. Just because the majority says it does not mean that it might ultimately lead to destruction. Just because most churches decide to implement it does not mean that it won't lead to the road of destruction. Just because the majority of preachers are saying it does not mean it will lead to the road of destruction. You got to check out what people say. And just because the majority say it doesn't mean you need to follow it. Oh, I would stay there a little longer, but I'm going. There's a lot of stuff people are saying now that you just wonder, do you read your Bible? And if you read it, what did you read to help you come to this conclusion? But I don't want to be too negative this morning. Some of them might be your cousins. But don't let the majority direct where you go. But then there's the highway. the highway to heaven. And Jesus invites everyone to this road. When he says in verse number 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. In other words, he wouldn't tell you to enter the gate if you could not enter the gate. So then each one who is there listening to his message is able to go in. Now, just because you're able does not mean you will choose to do it. I know many of us are able to do some things, but we choose not to do those things which we are able to do. But Jesus says the highway to heaven is available to everyone. When you look at its dimensions, he says that this gate is straight, and this way is narrow. Well, the gate is straight in that it is confining, and the road is narrow in that it might cause agony and it might cause groaning. Let me see if I can explain it this way. When you enter the narrow road of health and nutrition, when you decided on January 1st. Am I going back too far for some of you all? You already falling off? You decided I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise. Well, when you made that decision to enter the narrow road of health and nutrition, you didn't realize it was going to cause agony and grow, because you can't take Bluebell with you on that road. You can't keep going to Chick-fil-A. I know I mess up because I mess up. Can't keep eating that breaded fried chicken on this road. So you understand what I'm saying. You decide that this road is a straight, confining, and it might cause agony and pain. When you first went into the gym on January 2nd, the reason some of us didn't go back is because we found pains and aches in muscles that we didn't. So we got out of the narrow road. We got back on that Broadway. But what Jesus wants you to see is that this road is confining. This road may cause agony and groaning. You know, we went to Colorado, and we went up into the mountains. And I noticed there's a difference between driving on the freeway and driving on the highway. See, while we were traveling on the freeway, we were getting it. Making, y'all, you know, you're doing the speed limit, you're crossing people, and you. But when we went up the highway that led us up the mountain, brothers and sisters, you're talking about 10 and 2. You hear what I'm saying? I was concentrating maneuvered around those mountains and Those were some narrow, confining roads there. Wasn't a shoulder to pull off onto the... See, and when you up there, you're cautious. And there's not too many distractions you want. You don't want no loud noises coming from the children in the back. And I noticed while we were driving better on the freeway, when it got to the highway, we recognized we couldn't drive the same way. We had to slow down. I mean, we driving so slow, I'm looking in the back seat and seeing the people in front of me because we were. And all I'm saying to us is that when we decide that we're getting on the highway to heaven, we got to start living a highway. In other words, what you used to do, you can't do what you used to do. And where you used to go on Saturday, when you get off the Broadway and you said, I'm going to take the straight and narrow way, I have to change the way I drive. No more of that speeding. Sometimes I got to just slow down. While I'm slowing down, I may have to say a word of prayer because I got to give up. And this road, give up some things, and this road may cause groaning and agony. Some of us, we don't like to be confined. And I was talking to a brother, and he said, you know, well, you just can't put God in a box. I said, well, I thought to myself, any Christian knows that you can't put God in a box. But the Christian also has to know that God can put you in a box. See, whenever people are trying to get what they want to do done, then they want to put it on God. You can't put God in a box. But the question is not where God is, but where does God put you? God has never let his people just do what they want to do. From the beginning of time, God put Adam and Eve in the garden and put them in a box and said, don't touch, don't eat from that tree. When Cain and Abel came to bring an offering to God, the reason why God rejected Cain's offering and accepted Abel's offering is because Abel stayed in the box. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In other words, God does not allow you to just do what... So he says, that's why I got a narrow road. Yeah, the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 32. I want you to put that on the screen for me, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 32. I want you to understand that this narrow road is confining. You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Watch now. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the... I'm boxing you in with my commandments. Joshua, when he started leading the children of Israel, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7, God had to prepare Joshua to take on the leadership. And God prepared him when he said this to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7, if you could put it on the screen for me. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Watch him now. Turn not from it to the what?
right hand or to the left. That's a box, brother. God doesn't allow you to do what you want to do, how you want, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And if we look in the New Testament, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. God puts us in a box. He says, you got to understand, God has you in a box that leads you to life. Now, you can take the broad way if you want to, and you have no box. You can do as you please when you want to. But I'm saying to us, if we are going to go on the highway to heaven, amen, brothers and sisters, husbands, you're going to have to stay in the box that God puts you in. Honor your wife. Love your wife. Lead your family. That's the box. Wives, if you're going to be pleasing to God, you're going to have to stay in the box that God puts us in. Helping and guiding the home, respecting your husbands, elders, deacons, teachers, ministers. We got to stay in our box. Got too many folk getting out the box. Teach thou the things which become sound doctrine. Charge you therefore before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Stay in the box. The church got a box. Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Why do we want to get out of our box? Now, there's, you know, because we like to think outside the box. In the box that God puts us in, we're confined by his commandments, is a road that leads to life. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 14, that there are few who will find it. In Luke chapter 6, chapter 13, verse 23, they asked the question, will few be saved? And Jesus replied with the same statement, enter in at the straight gate. In other words, Jesus is saying to us plainly that he's the God of the few. God has a pattern of working with just a few. Noah and his family saved in the flood. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. When God chose Israel, in Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 7, he told him, don't you get the big head. Don't you think that you all are that because I chose you as the nation I will have a covenant with. Watch what he says in Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest. God can take a few and do whatever he wants to do. When Gideon was about to go and fight the Midianites, Gideon started with 22,000. God told him, that's too many. He told everybody who's scared and fearful, go home. He was left with 10,000. God said, I'm going to try them for you down by the river. He said, those who lap, those are the ones I want you to keep. And God took 22,000 and dwindled it down to just 300. 22,000 to 300 is a few. And God worked a work and delivered Israel with 300 men because God can specialize with a few. Jesus said there are few names in Sardis, not defiled their garments. Revelation 3 and verse number 4. I just want to be in the few, the faithful few. Sometimes we think we got to, God is telling us that everyone will not be saved. If you're a child of God, I just want you to stay on the road. Someone will say the highway to heaven is too hard. But remember, at the end of the road, the destination is worth the journey. It was hard going up the mountain, difficult at times to go around those corners, and got crazy people who think they can drive faster behind you. But when we got to the mountain and we were able to see the beauty of the mountain, the journey was worth the view. And I'm trying to tell you, if we're going to make it to heaven, there's going to be some difficulties. There are going to be some challenges. Paul said, yea, and all who would live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. But the good thing for us as children of God, while we travel on this narrow road, it's wide enough that Christ will walk with you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And God the Father will protect you. And then we got saints who are on the road as well, who will pray with you and pray for you. Stay on the road. I know sickness is coming and death is coming, but the ultimate end that we're looking for is life eternal. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. If we hold on to the end, despite the pains and the sickness and the suffering, it'll all be worth it, because Jesus will have something better for us at the end of the journey. If you're not a child of God, I hope today that you will look and see, what road am I traveling down? Am I on the broad way that leads to destruction? Am I on the narrow way that leads to heaven? What will you decide this morning? Will you take the road that'll lead you to God? Although it's restricted, the way of Christ is broad enough for any sinner who will repent and obey God. Even those who crucified the Son of God, when they asked Peter, what must we do? Peter said, repent.
Amen.
Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. In other words, you can still get on the narrow road. You don't have to keep traveling down the broad road. And he said there'll be few that'll find it. If you're looking for it, Jesus says that I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're here, you're not a child of God. You're heading on the wrong road. The good thing that while we're still in this life, we can take an exit, turn around, and get it right. But one day,
We're going to exit life's highway. And we won't be able to make a U-turn. We won't be able to hit a side road and try to get. We exit one time. And what we chose to do in this life will follow us into eternity. While you have the time, while you have the opportunity, while God has put breath in your body, you want to make sure that you are on the right road. That's the road headed to heaven. Have faith in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God and God the Son. And we'll baptize you in water for the remission of your sins. And you'll rise, be a new creature in Christ. He'll give you his Holy Spirit, which will help you each day of your journey. If you're a child of God and you've gotten sidetracked, you let some detours take you places you know you shouldn't be, amen, with people you know you shouldn't be with, God has given us an opportunity this morning to get those things right with him. As we stand, as we sing the song that has been selected.
I every thought no longer
charmed by the world's delight.
Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have alert my sight.